We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of
The Encouraging Word.
Yes, this is The Encouraging Word, featuring Dr. Don's message today on When Your Heart is Broken, wrapping up what we began yesterday with more insight from Scripture, more insight from God's Word about how God is ready to help us put back together our broken heart. And even in that brokenness, to see how God uses that mess every once in a while Dr. Don talks about to become our message. We'd love to connect with you, to encourage you directly on our phone line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We would love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Let me tell you what America's solution to problems is. I'll guarantee you, you've been there. I have. What happens to us, folks, when we go through the survival courses of life, when we suffer that heartbreak, when we hurt so deeply, what happens to us? Here's what we do. We've been taught this. Get as busy as you possibly can be. We get out our list. We say, I'm going to go to work earlier, come home later. I'm going to keep talking on the telephone. I'm going to write more letters. I'm going to run more miles. I'm going to be more busy. We surround ourselves with busyness. Why do we do that? Because our whole philosophy in life is that when we hurt, we need to clutter our lives to the point at which we don't have to think about it. Now, here's what happens. When we adopt that approach, and most of us do, if not all of us do that, that's the way we deal with problems. That's the way we deal with our broken heart. That's what we do when God begins to speak to us. We just throw busyness at it. God, you're speaking to me. You're drawing me into your heart. Well, I'll just do something else. I'll just go on another mission trip. I'll just get busy. I'll just teach another thing. I'll just be at another service. I'll just do this. I'll do that. I'll run around here. I'll add another meeting. I'll just do this. The more busy I get, the more I don't have to think about it. God says, hold on, sit down, stop. You know what happens when we don't do that? We become like living volcanoes. Have you ever studied the anatomy of a volcano? Junk begins to be suppressed. When your heart is breaking and God is speaking to you and all you do is get busyness to shut out the pain, it all goes inside. Now, what happens when things go into your tummy? Here, depression sets in. Headaches. More tablets. More prescriptions. Insomnia. Can't sleep at night. Manifestations of anger. Attitude. Hostility. Twitches, illness, sickness. It may take 6 months. Maybe you can suppress it for 2 years, 10 years, 30 years, but eventually the lid's going to come off the volcano. I have never seen a volcano that begins to erupt that makes an announcement. Hello, I think I'll just share a few of my hot little pieces of lava around the community. Folks, gather around. Everybody, you're going to love the fireworks. No, when a volcano erupts, what happens? Great damage is done, folks. Lava is hot. It burns. It destroys houses. It kills people. It eliminates entire communities. It destroys the vegetation. And it just spews out, even if that mountain has been there building up for this moment, even for decades, for centuries, that which is inside comes out and causes great damage and great harm. And God is speaking to our hearts. Sit down. Stop. You're not doing anything for yourself by throwing something more at it or making another appointment or increasing your schedule. You've got to cut back. You've got to stop. You've got to slow down. You've got to sit down. What did he do? What did he do? He paid attention. He heard. He sat down. Number three, he wept. Oh, we don't like that. Now, the ladies in our midst don't have a problem with that. But we men do, because it is almost impossible to be a real football fan and weep at the same time. It's not the manly thing to do. That's why we say to our wives many times, just stop it. Turn the taps off. Stop crying. Sniveling. But folks, I want you to hear what God is saying to my heart. You see, weeping is a volcano potential that is tucked away inside of me that if it doesn't come out, it's going to turn from water into lava. It's going to change from a sweet savor to a foul, stinking odor. It's going to turn from a blessing into a curse. And all of us masquerade in life when your heart breaks. And here we find God's servant. He opened his ears and he listened. He sat down, he wept. Note in the fourth place, he mourned. Now that word there, mourn, doesn't mean anything excepting that he adopted the attitude of a great death-like loss. Why was mourning so significant as his heart broke? Because it is no different, my friend, to losing that which is closest to you. When God begins to break my heart, you know the number one loss that I suffer is me, because I am in the way of God. I'm in the way of my people experiencing God. I am in the way of my wife. I'm in the way of my children. I am in the way. And God says to me, my son Don, if you want to experience me and have a fresh encounter and live the abundant life, you've got to die to self. And so mourning is a very functional part of the process that I have to go through, that you have to go through when your heart breaks. Otherwise, your heart is not breaking. But he didn't only mourn, he fasted. I don't know if you've ever fasted, went on a spiritual fast. It's a very incredible experience. There's so much in the Bible about fasting. What is fasting about? You got to be very careful when you fast, because you are saying no to food, for example. There are many kinds of fast, but the most predominant one in the scripture is a total abstinence from food. You got to be very careful, your health needs, and watching out in conjunction with your physician and your own personal station in life. There are just too many things involved, and there are many different kinds of fasts. You can go on one for one day and 7 days and so much this time and that time and from. That's not the issue that I'm talking about. What happened here as his heart began to break is that God revealed to his servant what he had to do. You take food, when you fast from food for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, God begins to replace your hunger pangs with spiritual pangs. Instead of panging for food, you pang for the grace of God. God begins to speak to you. What have you done? You've taken, you've removed something that's very dear to your own heart, that according to you, and correctly so, is very necessary for you to live. And yet God will tell you that the only thing that you need to live is not just by bread alone, but it is by the word of God. That's what he did. He heard and he sat down and he wept and he mourned and then he fasted. And then you can't help notice what happened there. He prayed. He fell on his face before God. And when you come down to a consideration of what happened when your heart is broken before the Lord, when his heart was broken before the Lord, he prayed first of all with a great sense of worship. Did you note there, right in that opening verse, in verse 5, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments. There was a tremendous sense, a renewed sense of worship. I have sensed that even amongst our people. I've sensed it with our choir. I've sensed it among our ministry team. I'm sensing it in my own heart. I'm asking the Lord that when I come in, even into these worship services on Sunday, that the Lord Jesus would allow me to want to worship him, don't you? There's a sense of majesty in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to have any more hang-ups about what this and where that and how. I just want to worship the Lord. I want to be set free from my own self in His presence. And I want Him to know that He is everything, that He's the centerpiece on the mantelpiece, that I'm worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, that I'm turning my heart and my life over to Him, and I'm saying, Lord, You alone are worthy of worship. That's what I want. There was a great sense of worship, but there was not only a great sense of worship here, there was a great sense of seriousness. Because in verse 5, we read this incredible sense of seriousness. Oh God, would You please listen? Would You please listen? When God breaks your heart, there's going to be a real sense of seriousness. Lord, what I want to do in Your presence is so serious. I want to be filled with Your joy, and I'm serious about this. I mean business, Lord. I don't want this to be a flash in the pan. I want to be totally and radically changed and transformed, and I want my people to come into a fresh presence of the grace of God. And I want You to pour out Your grace upon me first, and my family and my life and my people and everything that I do. Lord, I'm serious about this. I'm serious about it. But not only was there a great sense of worship here, a great sense of seriousness, but there was a great sense of humility.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of this powerful message, When Your Heart is Broken, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a few moments. Dr. Wilton insists we take this pause, though, to remind you we're available for you. Some of you are connecting online right now at tewonline.org. We'd love to get keyboard to keyboard with you, answer your questions. Many are asking about the Joni Erickson Tada book, wonderful, inspiring, true story. That and the DVD, it's all available on our website, tewonline.org. But while you're on our website, I pray you'd consider signing up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. It comes from Dr. Don early in the morning with a bit of God's Word, a bit of insight and application from Dr. Don, and truly can be a tool to launch your day in the very best of ways. Sign up online right now at tewonline.org. And if you're like my bride, then maybe you want a hard copy. We can make that available free as well. Just look for the ways to ask for that on our website, or you can call about it as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Just ask for your copy of the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
In verse 5 and verse 6, you can see it for yourself. There's an extraordinary humility here. It's a quality of the soul that can only come from the heart and holiness of God Himself. It cannot be manufactured. You cannot sit up one morning and say, I'm just going to be humble. God does that for you. When He brings you a survivor back from the exile, yes, with all your gates burned down and your walls destroyed, and He looks into your heart and He sees that you're hearing, you're paying attention, and you've sat down, you're giving yourself time to deal with the issue. That you're weeping, you're mourning, you're giving yourself to fasting and prayer, that you're prepared to worship Him and you're serious about it. God will turn to you and begin to translate that into a great sense of humility. God will do that. And it's interesting for me to note here in this particular passage, in this wonderful prayer, that this humility incorporated into its fabric substructure three confessions that were part and parcel of this sense of humility. There were three confessions. Did you note them? First of all, there was a corporate confession. Nehemiah said, "We, the people of Israel, have sinned against You." There was a corporate confession. Ought we not to be saying, we, the American people, we Southerners, we men and ladies who live in Spartanburg, we the Chinese nation, we the African continent, we the South Americans, we the English, ought we not to put into there, we who are part and parcel of the Encouraging Word, we who are members of First Baptist Church, we who are members of the, we there was a corporate confessional here that was a natural God-given outgrowth of a sense of humility. But there was not only corporate confession, there was personal confession. I stand before you as the chief of sinners, he said, including myself. Nehemiah was looking deep down into his own heart. God was putting out there right in front of him the leadership factor. He was saying, as for you and your house, what have you done? What are you making? What is your decision? How do you match up? There's the corporate confession. There's the personal confession. But there was a third component to this, the generational confession. Did you notice that? He says, and my father's house. Some time ago, I met together with a good friend of mine who was struggling with some very serious issues in his life. And he looked at me and he said to me, Pastor, he said, the thing is that I struggle with this, but my father struggled exactly the same way. And my grandfather before that, and now my son is beginning to struggle. And as we talked to him and as we began to love and pray, we said, let's break this generational curse. I've heard of so many people who have said, my father was an alcoholic and now I'm an alcoholic. And I have a son who's becoming an alcoholic. My father abused his mother, my mother, and I abused my wife, and I know my son has got an abusive nature. And that's exactly what he's talking about. My father was critical of the church, and now I'm critical of the church. My father was uncommitted to the things of God and would never go and worship him excepting on spiritual. Now I struggle with that. My father was not interested in giving of his life to the Lord and serving him through the local church. Now I do the same thing. I don't do that either. My father was more interested in these other things. Now I'm far more interested in these other things. That's what's going on here. The spirit of humility produced out of him. This three folks, the focused confessional, the corporate confessional, we all of us, me personally, and my father's house, the generational confessional that comes into this. Oh God, would you deliver me from this bondage when your heart is broken? But then he went from a sense of unbelievable humility to a sense of what I call presentation. He presented his people to the Lord. He said, Lord, here are my people. Got down on his knees. I really believe in the presence of the Lord. And I don't know, maybe he raised his hand, maybe he didn't. I don't know what he did, but I do know this, that when his heart was broken, he began to say, Lord, please, my people. In humility, I've corporately, personally and generationally, Lord, I present to you my people. Lord, I present to you that family, and I present to you those students and teenagers in the youth group, and I present to you all those boys and girls, and I present to you those marriages and those lonely people and the ones who are struggling and those who've gone through divorce and those who are so sick in hospital and those who are struggling and those who are going through life backwards and those who just don't get it and the angry and the displaced and the and Lord, I present to you, I just present there was a great sense of representation. But then there was a great sense of history. When this heart was broken, he began right there in verse 8. He said, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses. It was a great sense of history that began to filtrate down into his heart. Why Moses? As God began to speak to him about years gone by. Oh, I'm praying that God would give to me just a God-given brokenness that I would look back and I'd look back over the faithful men and women who have come even through this church and served him with such devotion and the people who have prayed for the likes of me. I want to look back on a sense of history and see the great revivals that have swept across, the great awakenings. I want to look back at the great Billy Graham crusades where literally thousands of people are walking down the aisle saying, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to go into the hills of Wales and into the mines of Wales and see the great Welsh revivals. And I want to say, oh God, would you do it right here? Would you do it in Spartanburg? Would you begin in my heart? I want to have a great sense of history. Lord, do it again. Do it again in my lifetime. Let me see this. Do it again. Do it again. Oh, there's a great sense of worship and a great sense of seriousness and a great sense of humility and a great sense of representation and a great sense of history. But there was also a great sense of delight. You can't help but miss that one. It's right there in the scripture. The Bible says in verse 11, it says, this prayer that your servants who delight in revering your name. I want God to reawaken within me, to break my heart, do whatever God wants to do, that I would rejuvenate my sense of delight, because I'm beginning to buy into the lie that is out there, that when you become a believer, life is filled with thou shalt nots. I want to go back to that ball game and be able to shout and scream with the best of them. I want to be able to barbecue that chicken with delight in my heart. I want to be able to look at that stream. I want to look at my home and my life and my church. I want to have a sense of delight because Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and He has rejuvenated me. He's cleaned out my closet, and I have a brand new, fresh set of clothes to wear, and I look so good, and I feel so good because I've got a sense of delight and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's what I'm praying for you. That's what I'm praying for you. But there was also a great sense of expectation. That last verse of that prayer, Lord, would you grant this today? I kind of thought Nehemiah must have been just like me because I love coffee right now. I don't want to wait. Lord, give it to me today. I want my heart to burn. I want it today. I want your heart to break today. I want my heart to break today. I want God to do it today. And let me show you what He says about how He does it. You know how He does it? He does it by choosing you and me and bringing us into His presence and encompassing us about with the name of God Jehovah. That's how He does it. When our hearts are broken, God points us into the heart and the holiness of God Himself. And He says, I am the Lord your God, and there is none like unto me. And I am the builder of your walls, and I am the one who reconstructs your broken gates, and I am the one who gives you all that you need. Come to me. I'm going to bring you back into the land, and I'll put my hand upon you, and I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Every head bowed in the presence of a great and a wonderful God. And Lord God, in this place today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I call upon your name for my people. I call upon your name to break our hearts, to ignite the fire within us, that we, your servants, might know who you are. Oh God, that we might have a sense of worship and seriousness and humility, that we might have a sense of history, that you'll do it again, that we have a sense of presentation and delight and expectation, because we are hearing and we have sat down and we are weeping and we are mourning and we are fasting and we are praying, because you're bringing the survivors back from exile. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we close out today's program, when Dr. Don was praying, I was reminded of the power of prayer, especially in this particular message, When Your Heart is Broken. I pray that you and I would realize that to be isolated is a terrible thing in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ literally is a global living organism that God has provided for us to encourage one another. And we would love to encourage you. If you'd like to speak with someone, to pray with someone, our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And that number will connect you with one of us anytime, day or night. We would love to pray with you, pray for you, maybe connect you with resources that will help you grow. And right now, before we go, I want you to know that there are dozens of people right here on this side of the radio that are going to be praying for you to open your heart to something different, something new. Before Dr. Don leaves us, he wants to share one more thought that could be the most important thought of the day.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If you've just given your heart to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. Or maybe, like me many years ago, you've now returned to God, knowing that He loves you and He's been pursuing you. He loves you so much, He's even using this radio broadcast, this online stream, however you happen to be listening to the message of God from Dr. Wilton and the Lord Himself today, to let you know that He loves you and has a plan for your life. If God's working in your life, we would love to step alongside and pray you through the next steps, whatever that might be, whether it's returning to the faith or grabbing a hold of Jesus for the very first time and watching Him lead you, love you, direct you. Again, you can reach us in a number of ways. First of all, the phone number, 866-899-WORD is the phone number. I pray you'll jot it down or store it in your cell. I know it's a little old school to be talking, but sometimes it's just what we need now more than ever in this time of separation. If you'd like to have someone to pray with, we're here at 866-899-9673. And if you're one of those folks that gave your heart to Christ, Dr. Don has resources he wants to put in your hand. And you can meet us as well online at tewonline.org. And that's a great place to discover more of who we are and how you might could be an encourager to us.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an encourager ministry partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone, and we'd love to hear from you about being an encourager. But more than that, we'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org.